Are you interested in a one-year MBA program with an international focus and a global reputation for training general managers and business leaders? And does the fact that it's about an hour's drive from the Eiffel Tower, the Champs-Élysées, and all the charms of Paris, not to mention being located in the heart of Europe, add to its attraction? Listen in for today's interview with the MBA program dean of HEC Paris. Welcome to the 302nd episode of Admissions Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result? You get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in," and not only in, but in at the best program for you. The featured resource for today's show is a webinar I will present tomorrow, March 13th. It's called 7 Steps to MBA Acceptance in 2020. The webinar is devoted to showing you what you should be doing now to enhance your chances of acceptance next fall and winter so that you can start the new decade in B-School. Register for free at accepted.com/302webinar. Several years ago, I attended a conference for admissions consultants hosted by HEC Paris and had a delightful and highly informative time. However, it's been a few years since I had an HEC representative on Admissions Straight Talk, and I decided it's high time to change this situation. Our guest today is the Associate Dean for the HEC Paris MBA program, Dr. Andrea Massini. Dr. Massini has been the Associate Dean in charge of the HEC MBA program for the last 3 years. He's also an Associate Professor of Operations Management at HEC since 2010. He earned his PhD in management from INSEAD, and prior to coming to HEC was an Assistant Professor of Operations and Technology Management at London Business School. Dr. Massini's research focus is the operational and organizational impact of technological innovations, with a particular emphasis on information and communications technology, renewable energy technologies, and sustainability issues. Dr. Massini, welcome to Admissions Straight Talk. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you very much for having me here, and I'm delighted to be able to talk to our audience.
Wonderful. Can you give us an overview of the HEC Paris MBA program? There are probably some listeners that aren't that familiar with it.
Absolutely. Well, the HEC Paris MBA, I would say, is a transformational academic and professional program that aims at training the responsible business leaders of the future in a global, collaborative, and multicultural context. So to do that, we have a program which lasts 16 months, which we believe is the optimal length. It is a program composed of a fundamental phase that lasts 8 months, where participants learn the fundamentals of management, and a customized phase that also lasts 8 months, which includes 7 specializations dedicated to specific topics in management, and of course, dozens of elective courses that students can take. They also have the possibility of going on exchange. We have about 35 international partners from all over the world, and they have the possibility of obviously doing projects and doing double degrees with a few selected partners. It's a very comprehensive program that allows our participants to build the fundamentals of management, to be able to be credible whenever they have a conversation with an expert in technology, operations, strategy, marketing, or finance, and at the same time to customize the program to fulfill their professional personal needs.
Okay. That was an excellent summary. What's new in the program?
Well, we just went through a curriculum review, so the MBA has a revamped curriculum, which gives greater attention to leadership in a multicultural world. So we added a few courses that really help participants understand who they are, what they want, but also how they should relate to others in what I say is a very complex multicultural environment. So mind you, our program has about 275 students so far this year. We have almost 60 nationalities, and we have 93% international participants. So wow. That means that whenever they work in groups, which is the typical mode of learning in an MBA program, they are confronted by diversity. And that diversity is basically it's a richness. It's an element that constitutes the DNA of our program. And as such, we want to help our students not only understand and validate that diversity, but also be able to manage it and leverage it. And that's why we introduce a number of courses on managing in a multicultural world. Also, we added two new specializations. In our jargon, a specialization is a coherent set of eight electives, all dedicated to the same topic, and usually lasts a semester or 4 months, typically between September and end of December. And the two new specializations we added are digital innovation and sustainability and disruptive innovations. So we did that because clearly these are two topics that are not only important for employers, for recruiters, but also for our participants. We hear more and more students who want to do an MBA, of course, because they want to transform their careers, but also because they want to do that in a way that includes or leverages digital innovation, and also in a way that is meaningful from an environmental and also a social point of view. So we leveraged those trends by including those new specializations. I think it is
again,
also
The first 8 months would be are the first 8 months basically lockstep, and then the second 8 months they would dive into these specializations, either the more traditional pre-existing ones or the new ones. Do I have that straight?
Correct. Let me give you an example. Suppose we take the intake that just joined us a few weeks ago in January. Those participants will go through the fundamental phase between January and June. So basically months of intensive learning of all the fundamentals of management. So we have core courses in strategy, statistics, marketing, operations, financial markets, corporate finance, organizational behavior. We have also, throughout that phase, mandatory and optional career workshops. Then during the summer break, they would do an internship. And then from September to December, they will choose one of the seven specializations that we offer. As I said, the two new ones are digital innovation and sustainability and disruptive innovation. On top of that, we had our five traditional specializations on marketing, finance, advanced management, strategy, and entrepreneurship. So between September and December, they can choose one of those seven. And between January and April of the following year, they will have what we call the open choice elective phase, during which they can really handpick eight electives that would fit their training needs. It can be eight electives that complete or complement their specialization, or it could be eight electives that are in completely different fields simply because they want to broaden their knowledge set, basically.
So that's lots of options that way.
Yes. We, again, want to combine the best of both worlds. We want to have a very solid fundamental phase because each and every graduate from HEC Paris has to be able to have, as I said, a meaningful conversation with every senior leader expert in one of those fields, in the traditional fields of management. And at the same time, we want to give them the opportunity to specialize and to facilitate career transformation, which remains, I would say, the primary goal of our graduates, of our candidates.
All right. How has HEC been affected by, I mean, this is a world in flux, and there's lots of contradictory trends and things going on and events in the world. How has HEC been affected by the recent turmoil in France, the Brexit situation, and the perception that the U.S. is less welcoming to foreign students than it used to be? I don't think that's really a perception.
Well, you know, first of all, let me say that the MBA as a concept being a program that welcomes globalization, exchanges, we're not pleased with the tensions or the political consequences of certain decisions or certain phenomena that we observed. At the same time, I must say that the HEC Paris MBA has been growing over the last 3 to 4 years at an impressive pace. So we have a double-digit growth that continues to happen.
Double-digit growth in application volume or in
application volumes, and as a consequence also in number of enrolled students. So we moved from roughly 200 students 3 years ago to a class of 275 today.
Congratulations.
But it is not only a growth in volume, it is also growth in the quality of our classes. And we see that in the placement statistics. We see that in the CVs of our candidates. So I would say that the marginal candidate who is not admitted today would have been perhaps omitted, a few years ago. So it was an impressive growth, both in terms of quantity and volume and quality. And as a result of that, we were able to grow the number of sections of classes, if you like, from 3 to 5 for the full-time program. So is that a consequence of Brexit, of the political changes in the United States? I wouldn't say so. Maybe it could be, they could have an impact, but it's certainly not the primary driver. I would say that the primary driver is a better program with greater visibility, a stronger alumni network, a greater corporate outreach, more effective, with a slightly larger class, a strategically small, as they call it. We are able to be more appealing to global recruiters, and as such, we have more applications and more high-quality applications. The recent events in France, I wouldn't say that they have affected demand for the program. Maybe they are an opportunity for business schools to reflect on how we can contribute to create a more just society and how we can possibly, as a business school, as an MBA program, we can help our graduates develop the skills and the competencies to create a better society, to be better leaders. And I think it is something that we care about here at HEC because we have a center called SNO, Society and Organizations, that is fully dedicated to that. So we have a group of researchers on campus whose primary mission is to study, to push the frontiers of knowledge and understand how organizations, not only business organizations, but organizations at large, can contribute to create a better society with, of course, more value to be shared, but also a better way of sharing that value among the different stakeholders.
And you
all in
so,
all,
please. No, go ahead.
So all in all, I would say we were not affected by those events. The program is growing at an incredible pace. We're really proud of that. And I would say that this event, this global event, are an opportunity for us to design a better program, more relevant, to provide or to train leaders who are aware of these challenges and are able to provide better answers.
Well, thank you for the very comprehensive answer, very thoughtful answer. You've mentioned several times in the call so far that HEC is evolving its leadership development programs, and HEC, the larger school, not just the MBA program, prides itself on producing CEOs and residents of C-suites in general, as well as entrepreneurs. How does the, and I believe a lot of that is the undergraduate program actually at HEC as much as the MBA program, but how, what is different about or special about HEC's leadership development program that A, prepares students to work in a multicultural world and ends up with them in C-suites and entrepreneurial role and really top leadership roles?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it is a very complex question that deserves several answers, at least in answering several elements. First of all, the leadership part. There are different schools of thought about leadership. There are some people who believe that leadership cannot be taught, cannot be taught through programs, and some people believe that leadership is something which is part of your DNA. Others say, no, it is something that you can learn through the books. We try to use a combination of those methods. So we do have a number of programs where the fundamentals of leadership from a theoretical point of view are explained, but most importantly, we implemented a learning by doing type of model where our students go through experiences that really challenge their leadership abilities allow them to grow as leaders. So let me give you a few examples. One is a seminar we do with the Military School of Saint-Cyr here in France. It's the equivalent of West Point in the U.S., if I may use an analogy. And it's a two-day seminar during which participants are taken outside of their comfort zone, and they're given challenges, both individual challenges and group challenges. So let me focus on the group challenges. They are organized in groups of 10, each of them with a mentor, with a coach, and they go through 10 exercises. And during each of those exercises, they're going to be either the leader of their group or they're being led. And at the end of each exercise, these are complex exercises that have nothing to do, of course, with military operations. I mean, they are exercises that have a precise purpose. It could be handling a crisis, could be rescuing somebody from a very dangerous place, could be just overcoming or building a bridge. And through those exercises, they understand what is the posture, what is the attitude that a leader should have, and they understand also how difficult it is to be led when a leader doesn't have the right attitude and the right competencies. So because they're taken out of the comfort zone, they're able to understand those challenges much more quickly and much more effectively, and it's a transformational experience. Let me give you one example to highlight how important or how useful that is. I remember an exercise where the group had to build a small bridge. It was a simulation, basically, but it was cold. It was early in the morning. We were in the in a forest, and the leader of this group was a very self-confident, typical alpha male, if I may say. So Adam was basically, I mean, he had a solution, and he pushed everybody to implement that solution. And guess what? That solution was wrong. And he and his team, he had a very shy Asian female student who had the solution. And she suggested that right solution three times. But of course, she was not vocal enough or forthcoming enough, and she was completely ignored. So at the end of the exercise, the coach took the team and said, well, look, you as a leader, you are certainly overplaying on your strengths. You're a very charismatic leader, willing to lead by example, but by doing that, you were basically not listening to your teammates.
Yeah.
But he also said, you, on the other hand, the Asian shy student, you were not able to have your idea understood and heard. So because you're shy, you wouldn't be an effective leader. So you have to be able to combine those two properties, those two qualities, and basically to be an effective leader, you have to have both of them.
Sure.
So this is one of the activities that we run. Then we have a few student-run projects. One of them is the MBAT, the MBA tournament or MBA Olympics, where a team of 25 MBA students organize a three-day sporting tournament with 1,500 students from all over the world. So we have business schools from Europe, the US, Asia, coming here and competing in swimming, rugby, track and field, golf, tennis, cricket, whatever. And it is a $500,000 product, as I said, with 1,500 people. And it's entirely run by our participants with the help, of course, the supervision of a couple of professors who are coaches. They're not doing the work. They're just helping the team function well as a team. We have several of those opportunities, of those projects, where our students basically are challenged and they're asked to apply in practice what they learn during the program. So to summarize, leadership is a combination of understanding the fundamentals, but also applying them in a learning by doing type of environment.
And in all these activities, at after the activity or at appropriate points in the activity, are the students getting feedback from a leadership coach?
Absolutely. Absolutely. For instance, for the MBAT, they have to write a report. For Sincere, they have to write a report which is connected to the organizational behavior course. So the OB professor is in charge of the core course, sits with us, is with us during the military academy seminar, and there is a very clear connection, what we call a fil rouge, a red thread, throughout the program to connect all those leadership activities.
Fascinating. Now, I read, going to the more the global aspect of HEC, I read that HEC has expanded its recruiting and outreach to Africa. Can you dive into that initiative a bit?
Oh, yes, absolutely. We just opened a new office in Ivory Coast in Abidjan. And from that office, of course, we run executive education operations in the West Africa, but also we use it to basically promote the school and the brand in, I would say, the entire African continent, but primarily in the West Coast. I mean, HEC by nature has a lot of visibility in North Africa, particularly in the French-speaking part of Africa. So we saw a massive increase in the number of applications from countries like Morocco, Tunisia, and recently from countries like South Africa and Kenya.
Pretty
So
good.
it is clearly a priority for the school, and through these bases that we have now in Abidjan, in Ivory Coast, we hope to be able to be more present, more visible, and again, by leveraging the network of alumni, we hope to be able to attract even more African candidates.
Great. Now, HEC has an unusual high-touch and fast application process, and I'd like to turn to the admissions process at this point. And it promises a response in 5 weeks to following the submission of an application. Can you review the application process? And also, is its efficiency a reflection of your background in operations? Because it's unusually
tonight,
fast.
I like to think that is a reflection of the quality of our team, and is a reflection of the fact that we care about our candidates and we value their time.
Okay.
So one of the reasons why we keep the program strategically small, let's say around 300 or not more than 300, is because we like to customize it. And when I say customization, I don't mean only customization of the delivery, but also customization of the approach or the interaction with the admission officers. And that's why we want to have such a fast process, because we know that as a candidate, you want to have an answer fast in case you're not taken. You may want to consider other opportunities. So it's pretty legitimate. So how do we do that? Well, we work hard, of course, and we rely on our alumni. That is an incredible chance that we have to have such an engaged network of alumni. So it works very, very simply. First of all, our admission officers, our recruitment managers, they're in touch with potential candidates, so they try to give as much information in a personalized way as possible. And once the candidate fills up the application form with all the elements that include the GMAT, include the essays, the recommendation letters, the academic background, and all the elements we need, then we have a pre-selection jury or committee where applications are screened. If you pass that threshold, at that point, you're going to have an interview, two interviews actually, with alumni. And following the recommendations of our alumni, those who pass are basically discussed in a committee, in a final selection committee, admission committee, where we take the final decision. So it's a very smooth process, but it wouldn't work that well if we didn't have so many alumni committed and willing to help.
Sure.
Of course, it is a stretch. It is a stretch. The applications have been growing over time. And I'm lucky enough to have a fantastic team to be able to do that fast and effectively.
Wonderful. What gets your team excited in a positive way about an applicant?
We want to see that little spark in the eyes of the applicants, or at least in what he or she writes. We certainly look for candidates who are willing to share, to give something to the class. So the first question we ask is, okay, this guy or this woman is great, but he or she, is she willing to give something to the class, and would the class be a better class because of that person? We want to see exceptional individuals who have a professional plan, whatever that is, and who have an ambition to work hard to do something different, to be open to diversity. So we like candidates who have, of course, an international experience. We like candidates who are willing to learn and to get out of their comfort zone. And we're looking for candidates who are really willing to learn to dare. I think it's the motto of HEC. So we really want candidates with that type of mindset. And of course, you know, the usual parameter criteria apply. So we're looking for candidates with good qualifications, outstanding academic backgrounds and professional backgrounds. But we want something more. We want somebody who's willing to learn in a very collaborative, cooperative, and multicultural environment.
When someone tells me that he or she is interested rather in international marketing or luxury goods management, I immediately think of HEC. What does HEC offer the prospective applicant interested in luxury goods or marketing strategy or international marketing, the things that it's known for?
Well, of course, France is by default a country where luxury is one of the core strengths on the country level. We do have in the program a number of electives that are dedicated to luxury strategy. We offer, as an add-on to the MBA program, certificates in luxury and customer experience, which are developed in partnership with two of the largest luxury companies in the world. So throughout the program, students have not only access to courses to training that deal with luxury in the different functions, can be strategy, marketing, or operations, but they also have access to companies on campus. So we basically live and breathe every day the luxury world. That being said, of course, from an MBA, we expect an ability to join the luxury industry in certain strategic roles. So suppose that you're interested in operations, you're interested in luxury, you have to understand that it is not enough to have a nice product. You can be competitive in that industry only if you have a tight supply chain, well-managed. As an MBA, you have to be able to bring value at that level. And of course, you know, our students can enjoy campus visits, and we have a very active professional club, MBA professional club, dedicated to luxury. They are constantly developing new initiatives, bringing companies on campus from the usual suspects like Kering, LVMH, and the like. And they're also organizing trips to other countries in Europe, Italy being one of those, where they can have an opportunity to exchange and meet with luxury companies.
What else?
So there is a combination of opportunities.
What else should make me think of HEC?
Well, I like to think of HEC for three core values of the school. One is excellence. So this is a school where excellence in terms of academic excellence, but also excellence in our processes, is de facto in our DNA. So it is a research school, and we value that. Second, diversity. So it is probably, and I'm don't really want to be too pleased of that, but you know, it is probably one of the most international programs in the world, if not the most international one. So one every under five students is coming from a different nation. And third, and we haven't talked about that too much, it is a school where the sense of community, the sense of belonging to this community, is very important. We have a network of 58,000 alumni, and just to give you an example, the MBA alumni organized an MBA afterwards, so a get-together that started very informally, and now they're organizing that in 55 countries, in 55 cities, simultaneously, the same day.
So wow.
It's a global celebration of the MBA, of the HEC Paris MBA. So the sense of community is something that is really part of our DNA.
Okay. What's something really cool that an HEC alum is doing, either entrepreneurially or as an employee for a corporation?
There are many, many of them doing very different things. And I think it is one of the strengths of the program, where we don't really want to emphasize one particular industry, but we like to diversify placement. So let me give you a few examples.
Great.
So we have a specialization in entrepreneurship, where students work hand in hand with research scientists from the nearby labs, research labs. One of those students decided at the end of that experiment to continue and create a company around their ideas. And now that company that is using nanotechnology to optimize or improve the duration of the roads is really going really, really well. Similar student with an entrepreneurship background, but a medical background, is working on a company to produce medical imaging equipment, very advanced. Another one still around entrepreneurship and technological innovation is working to develop a system to reduce the diseases associated with bad posture when you work. For instance, when you sit down in a bad way, like I'm doing now. Then we have students who choose the technology path. We have one who just left Google to become the marketing director of Netflix in the Netherlands. We have we had a student who's trying to leverage his connections with the developing countries to develop projects to improve the quality of life of the bottom of the pyramid. And we even had students in the past who decided to take a break after the MBA, travel the world for, say, 1 year, postponing job search despite having offers from McKinsey and all the top companies.
Wow.
Simply because they felt that the MBA opened their eyes, or his eyes in that case was a male student, and he needed to absorb more of the world before going back and getting the job that he wanted, which he did very, very successfully.
Wow. That's again, if you say that diversity defines your school, that would be one more element.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah,
and again, we like to... Pardon?
What they do after the program is as diverse as where they come from before the program.
Absolutely. We achieve an impressive rate of transformation, both in terms of industries, region, and functions. And as I said, I think it is something that we like not only because it is a lot of fun and it creates a lot of interesting stories, but also strategically, it allows us to be independent of the fluctuations of certain industries. So if we had only, say, finance candidates, then we would be much more exposed to the fluctuations of the finance industry. Whereas by having a placement which is more or less balanced, you know, say 25% in consulting, 25% in finance, and 50% between technology, industries, and services, then we can really tell our candidates, come here, and you can really find your way, your professional path, and if you want to change your target while you're doing your MBA, that's perfectly feasible because we are equipped to help you do that through the specializations, through the coaches we have, through the connections with industry. So we may have, again, students who decide to move from consulting to, and it's a recent example, to working with a startup who's working on driverless cars, simply because they want to contribute to, you know, to redesign the way in which we develop or use mobility services. Or, as I said, we may have students who, after 5 years in the oil industry, decide to quit that industry, which is very profitable and very interesting, of course, and do something completely different in technology. And that's because of the learning that they had through the MBA and also the connections, the network they developed through the during the MBA.
I know there are several schools in the U.S. that certainly in 2008 kind of learned the lesson of the value of diversification all over again in a very real way because they were very focused on one particular industry.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, it hurt for a while there. Do you have any advice for people considering the HEC MBA program? What should they be thinking about? Say if they're...
Well, I would say, first of all, I would ask myself, why do I need an MBA? I mean, is this really something for me? For what purpose? Therefore, that implies having a professional plan.
Right.
And second, then you should ask yourself, is HEC Paris the right school for me? And am I the right person for HEC Paris? So as I said, this is a program that values diversity, a mindset open to sharing and a collaborative work. And it is a school that places excellence and hard work at the very top of the values. And I think in the end, you should ask yourself, what can I bring to my classmates? It is a question that we often ask during the interviews. You know, why should we be interested in you? Of course, we know that you are an outstanding candidate academically, that you have had incredible professional successes, but what is different about you? So if you have all those qualities and you tick all those boxes, I think you should seriously consider about joining HEC Paris. And of course, if you like being in a place that is at the center of Europe, where you can have connections with a number of multinational organizations, but also with a French culture. We are a global school, a global program, but we roots in France. So I think you can also take advantage as a candidate, as a participant. You can take advantage of the time here in the old Europe, if I can say so.
Right. And it's a beautiful facility. I visited it several years ago. There was a conference for admissions consultants where I visited it, and it was beautiful.
And we're planning, of course, to make it even better with plenty of plans to renovate and build new facilities and new
really?
Infrastructure for our participants. And it's a campus that has the advantage of being very close to Paris. I myself live in Paris, and it takes, you know, about 20 minutes for me to come here. But it is in a beautiful location with a, you know, with a real campus, the American way, if you like, with a track to run, with a football field, with tennis courts, with a lake where our students can have barbecues during the summertime.
So forest around it too, right? Forest around it, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I remember it was beautiful. I remember driving out to it. It was just gorgeous.
Absolutely.
What else is coming down the pike at HEC? Increases in class size, additional satellite locations similar to your Ivory Coast office. What do you see? More concentrations?
Well, I think there is certainly an emphasis on technological innovation and digital innovation at large. We are, as a school, putting online education the top of our priorities. So the MBA is leveraging or using some of the online content that is being developed at the school level, but not to make the MBA digital, because this remains a residential program where candidates stay here, they have one-on-one interactions, they share ideas, but a little bit of online content and blended courses give that additional level of flexibility, which is highly appreciated by our participants. And also, I would say we're going to take advantage of the new chairs that are being developed and signed at the school level, one of which is on purposeful leadership, to have once again more focus on leadership development, but leadership, but purposeful leadership. So not only a type of leadership where you know, our participants have to achieve goals, but they have to do that to find a certain meaning in what they do. So I think these two axes of development, over and above our traditional ones, are certainly important axes of development at the school level and at the program level. And we have recently signed an agreement with the Polytechnical University to develop common initiatives around business and technology innovation. And of course, as an MBA program, we're going to benefit from that joint effort very, very soon. And we're really excited about that.
That sounds very exciting. Thank you. Dr. Massini, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. Evening for you, morning for me, but you've been very generous with your time, and I don't want to abuse that generosity, and your arm must be starting to hurt anyway, anymore. But I've really enjoyed our conversation. Where can listeners and potential applicants learn more about HEC's MBA program?
Well, they can certainly check our website. They can meet with our admission officer, our recruitment managers. They can attend all the fairs, the international fairs. And I would say if they're interested, they shouldn't hesitate. Get in touch with us. We are just here to help and provide as much information as possible.
Wonderful. We'll include links in the show notes at exhibit.com/302 to the HEC website, as well as to related articles and interviews. Listener, thank you too for joining Dr. Andrea Massini and me for our 302nd episode. A quick reminder, if you are aiming to start your MBA in 2020, register for free for the webinar, 7 Steps to MBA Acceptance in 2020, which I will present tomorrow. You can register at exhibit.com/302webinar. And yes, if you are listening to the recording and you're listening after March 13th, still register and you'll have access to the recording. And the final request, if you find the show worthwhile, please share the good word by leaving a review on iTunes. Your doing so helps us spread the word about Admissions Straight Talk. There's a link in the show notes to our iTunes page where you can leave that review. And if you want to leave a review elsewhere, that's fine too. Thanks again for coming. This is Admissions Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.